Hello and welcome to Not a Safe Space. This is Sabrina.
And Tabby.
Hey girl, what's going on?
Not much. How are you?
Good. We took a week off to get us into episode 36.
Yes, 36.
And we took the week off because both of us felt like we didn't have anything of value or interest to share. Did you feel like that was a good idea?
I felt like it was because everything is about the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. Everything. And I don't want to talk about the coronavirus. I'm living in the coronavirus. I want to talk about something new and different and uplifting or something, but not this damn fake pandemic, whatever it is. And that's just my personal
opinion. Yeah, I mean, I feel the same. Well, not exactly the same way, but as in, like, we just needed a break, that everything that I had to talk about last week was exactly the same as the week before. Now, it's given us 2 weeks and a fun weekend in between. At least I had a fun weekend to actually feel like I have something we're talking about. I'm not 100% sure that not talking about Corona is the right answer, as much as maybe talking about things about the Corona that aren't just us sitting at fucking home all the time would be a better dialogue.
Agreed. Right?
There you go. So, how have things been going over there on the farm? I saw some pictures about your guys's, what's it called? Hydroponic?
Aquaponics.
Aquaponic farms going in?
Right. So, basically what it is farming with fish poop and water. So I created, you know, that big tank I showed you. So we now have fish in it, and the fish will poop in there, and then the water will have all the nutrients, right, from the fish poop, the fertilizer, basically, and then all that water will go into beds, water the beds, and then drain the beds constantly back and forth, and it will cycle through. So I never have to water my plants. They're watered for me automatically.
Okay. So then how much produce do you plan to produce out of the farm?
Well, the final goal is, you know, that front half of, it's roughly about 2 acres when you're driving down my driveway and there's all those trees.
On the left-hand side.
Right. We're going to turn that into a whole farm area where there's going to be aquaponics. We're going to have a pond. We're going to have greenhouses. We're going to have rows and rows and rows and rows of food. Right now, I've got 4 little beds, and I'm going to build an A-frame, and that's it.
Well, that makes sense. You have to learn how to do it, right? I think everybody who's planted a garden before and has lost their plants before they've been able to eat from them knows how difficult it really is. People make it look so easy, but it's not.
Don't they? And it's not easy, especially this, because there's a whole science behind it. So, like, I have to test the water to make sure it has all the right nitrogen and potassium and
stuff. Now, who's doing all that shit? Because that's not your... I mean, you're not a fucking scientist. Who's doing all that stuff?
You know it's Dion.
Oh, Dion is doing it. Okay, I didn't know Pam was doing it. Because Pam is into farming and the whole, you know, farm, eat, farm, and self-producing.
Right. So, Pam's into it, but she's not into the aquaponics part of it yet. So, yes, she's old school farmer. You plant a seed, you put it in the dirt. You can make sure you've got good dirt, and you grow it there. This is a whole new setup. I've had people who've done it before, and they get produce that goes year round. So.
Oh, okay.
Like, it's a tomato plant that will keep producing and producing and producing, and instead of dying out like the other plants, it'll keep producing much longer because it's getting more nutrients than it does just from dirt.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. So what else do you guys have going on? Any other projects completed at the farm? So we had 8 weeks?
No.
Bullshit. So you guys haven't completed one?
No. At least it doesn't feel.
What the fuck?
Well, we're doing 6 at once. The shed, the aquaponics. Well, I guess technically we finished those raised beds for Pam, and those the tomatoes and the peppers. That's growing. So, yeah.
That counts.
That counts. Okay. We started fixing the chicken coop because we had to build new chicken beds in there. And then next project is going to be we have to build a freaking hog pen.
Okay.
Yep, because we got a male and a female, and it's time to separate. So when she gets pregnant, the babies and her have a place to go. So, and we're learning all about that right now, too.
Nice. So we've, it sounds like you guys have a ton of big projects going on. We switched our focus 2 to 3 weeks ago, and instead of big, giant projects, we are doing all the small projects that maybe we would have done over a weekend, but then kept getting distracted because we'd rather hang out with our friends or go fishing or whatever it might be. So we've got a workbench built, a fishing table built. I got a couple shelves put in my bathroom yesterday that Ethan built. The boys are laying sod right now. Did a little mini makeover in the laundry room that's almost done. Lorelai's bedroom is on its way. I just ordered furniture. We're waiting for that to come in. So it's just mentally, the way that we changed it, not we, because my husband has no fucking clue what's going on, is that I purposely changed it because I needed wins, right? I needed to be able to check things off and move forward. I also need items that are going to keep my son and daughter physically and mentally entertained. So, Ethan's been, like I said, he built shelves, floating shelves in my bathroom yesterday. It took him all day.
Oh,
it was brand new cuts and everything for him. But, you know, mentally, it's working his head. He wants to build a boat one day. He needs to know how to cut and work with wood and all these things. So, you know, it's these little projects that are costing, I don't know, sometimes $50 to $300 at a time.
Right.
But it's worth it, and it's keeping our kids busy mentally. Like, Lorelai is preparing to redecorate her room. I told her she had a $500 budget, which was the same amount that Trump gave per eligible child. So she's using her Donald Trump money. And quite honestly, it's things that needed to be done, had been postponed, or that, like, her bedroom needed to be redecorated.
Right.
Like, it's been the same color as Frozen 1 since she was, I don't know, 5 years old. She's about to turn 10. She wants a big girl's room. Little did I know. Did you see her inspiration photos?
Yeah, that was very, that's from her. I thought you posted those.
Fuck no. So look, I sat.
This very adult. Her bedroom design is very, very adult.
They were not my idea. I created an entire Pinterest board, made her, she has a Pinterest account, made her a contributor. I was so excited. I wanted to do like this bohemian, really laid back, really cool, vibrant colors bedroom. And I sent it to her and she was basically like this.
No.
Yeah, that's not really what I was thinking. And I was like, oh. Really? Because I'm also trying to, like, use some of her furniture that she has, right?
Right.
And then she starts sending me bedrooms that basically look like the bedroom that I redesigned for Jen, our 30-something-year-old friend. And I was like,
right?
That's what you want? An upholstered fucking headboard?
What?
And she was like, yep. Gray and white, that's all I want. And sent me all the, and I was like, okay, so now I guess I'm doing a bedroom for an adult.
Well, all right then.
So that, I mean, we're doing it. It's her bedroom. I'm not going to force her into it. Again, it's just kind of the difference between child one and child two, right? Like, Ethan just asked me this year if he can move his bed in his room. After I decorated his room, I don't know, 5 years ago, Ethan's room was the first room to be decorated. But he came up to, Mama, can I move my bed? And I was like, well, yeah. Meanwhile, Lorelai, I'll wake up and her whole room will be rearranged. Because she does it in the middle of the night. Her bed will be in the closet. Her bed will, her dresser will be in the closet. The bed will be out. Because she took the doors off of her closet. So sometimes she makes the closet into this little coat. I mean, it's just completely two different kids. So then we paint her room. We're all excited, right? We're getting her involved. We're making her help. While we're doing that, we bought new fans for the kids. So Ethan is starting in his room and he's hanging the fans. By the time it's done, and it's, so now it's day two, right? We need to put the room back together. I think I'm going to have a full day of putting a room back together. First of all, I think I'm going to have a full day of helping Nate just finish the trim up in the room. So he kept saying to me, like, well, just hold on. I'm not really sure how we're going to do it. Just wait for me out back and I'll call you when it's done. And I was ready to go. I was in my yard or my, you know, my DIY clothes. I'm ready to work.
You have DIY clothes?
Well, yeah. You know, the ones you don't mind getting dirty, that you purposely put paint on yourself so it looks like you've been working really
hard.
Right,
yes.
Yeah. So we're sitting there, or I'm sitting there, and now it's like 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. I walk back into Lorelai's room and I'm like, hey, buddy, you know, you ready for my help? He's got all the trim now laid out and cut, and he was like, you know, I'm still working on this. I'm still trying to figure it out. Some of the cuts are, I'll let you know when I need you. I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go back to the patio, I guess. So I go back out there. I open another monster. I'm listening to music. I'm listening to a book on tape. Come back in and the fucker's done.
Now, is this Nate or Ethan?
Yeah, this is Nate. This is Nate. So I'm like, so you didn't need my help? And he was like, you know, it's because of the cuts and this was my first time and I just wanted to see how it went. And I was like, oh, okay. For 3 hours, he put me off like I was going to be helpful. So then I was like, all right, no problem. And I was like, hey, Lorelai, we're almost up. Daddy's going to tag us in. I'll help you. Now, besides her bed and her dresser, everything's out in the hallway in the guest room.
Right.
I'll help you place your stuff in. We can see. She was like, I got it. And I was like, what? Well, what about, don't you want me to help you, like, put your stuff back? No, I can do it. And I was like, well, what about just, like, moving your furniture in place? No, everything in here I can move on my own. I do it all the time. And I was like, well, I guess I don't have anything to do today.
Oh, poor Sabrina.
No, fuck that. I went back to the porch and was like, all right, I'm good. And spent the rest of the day just sitting out there because nobody wanted my help.
Oh.
No, it's not an awe. No, it's not an awe thing, right? Like after I thought, when I was sitting there thinking about it, it's exactly what you want. You want your kids and your family to be independent, right? To not rely on mama coming in to help or, you know, whoever coming in and feeling like you need someone. And so for this 9-year-old girl to be like, I got it. I'll let you know. Don't come back to my room until it's all done. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. See ya. I guess I said, by the way, I'm still taking full fucking credit for this, though. On Facebook, you don't have social media, Lorelai. I'm taking credit for this.
There you go.
She was like, that's fine.
Oh, so she let you take all the credit?
Yeah, well, once it's done, I will. So I ordered her bed from Wayfair, which has great reviews. I've never personally ordered it, but I know a bunch of people that have. So I ordered her a bed. Mm-hmm. That comes this week. And then the rest of it, I think it's going to be kind of on hold because I'm not buying home stuff online. You can't beat the prices of like a TJ Maxx, Marshall's, Home Goods.
No, you can't.
I would much rather wait 3 weeks and spend her $500 wisely than just spend it on Amazon.
Right, because then you'll have some left over and you can put it back into her college fund.
Yeah, right, or back in my bank. So
that too. Oh, yeah, so that's what I'm going to do because when all this is over, everybody who thought they were going to be gardeners and plant shit and they bought all the equipment and stuff, and when all this is done and it's open and they go back to resell it really cheap, that's when I'm going to stock up on some shit.
when they sell. That's funny. That's what my son was thinking about when they... when everybody was hard up for money and they'd start selling their fishing equipment. he was super excited to go and be able to buy their used stuff, same as you. Now, did you hear me say that I was listening to a book on tape?
Yes, I did, but I wondered if you were following along with the physical book, too.
I'm not. No longer doing a read-along, and no longer even just fucking reading. So I did finish a book, right? But then I still had all these credits for Audible, and I went in and downloaded, I think I have 5 credits. I downloaded 5 new books, and I've listened to 2 out of the 5 of them, and where I was 6 weeks ago when I was like, I'm going to push myself to read these. Fuck that. Fuck it. No, like, what's the point? I know how to read. Well, I know how to read. And what's the point? If I enjoy laying, this is what I've been doing the last 2 weeks. I have been watching this ant colony rebuild over and over again in this patch of dirt that is next to where I lay out on my back patio. And Lorelai and I are very invested. So I don't have time to read. If I am out back laying out, I am watching my farm family work. I mean, my aunt family.
Yeah.
And I'm listening to somebody read a book, and I'm okay with that.
Well, there you go. And I was thinking when I read the overall notes that it was like, you read this book and this book and this book and this book. And I'm going, how the fuck is she reading all these books so quickly?
Now no, I listen to it.
You're listening
to. Yeah, I've been listening to it, and I'm not ashamed of it, and I'm okay with it. I'm okay with embracing the technology and moving the fuck on.
Right. See, I don't know how you do it, because every time I listen to a book, I daze out. Like,
now, so that's something that I catch myself doing every once in a while. Because I'm used to listening to podcasts, and I'm used to listening to music or the TV's on where it's just background noise. Mm-hmm. So I do have to find myself refocusing, hitting rewind a little bit, going back.
Okay.
The lady that is, I'm listening to where all the Crawdads book or whatever.
Oh, Where All the Crawdads Sing.
Yeah. So I'm listening to that one now. And the voices are fucking obnoxious. When you record your book, don't do fucking voices.
No,
I don't need somebody to read to me in a fucking voice. I'm not a 5-year-old. And she's doing these backwater, like,
because that's where it's set.
Yeah. Don't patronize me. Just fucking read the book.
I started reading that book, and I didn't get very far into it. Then I had stopped because life freaking takes over. And I had a hard time getting into it. I didn't know exactly where it was going.
Well, I don't blame you, because the first few chapters are very slow, and it's kind of building it up to a murder that happens and how the main character's involved. But it has been very boring so far.
So far. How far are you into it?
I think chapter 8, maybe.
And it's still boring?
It is, because there's just a lot of background. There's just a lot of setting it up of her, how she ends up by herself. Or chapter 7, yeah.
That's a long time to build up.
It is, yeah. But if you, even if you're reading it, yeah, I guess you're right.
I'm sorry, Gone with the Wind didn't even take that long to build up. And that's a 500-page novel.
I agree. So, I noticed you...
Speaking of novels, yesterday, did you know it was Harper Lee's birthday?
I saw the article you sent me, yeah.
Yeah. I just thought that was kind of cool, because she wrote To Kill a Mockingbird. Did you ever read that book?
I did, yeah. We were all forced to read it in high school.
Did you ever read it when you weren't forced to?
I don't think so. Okay. No, I'm not one to go back and reread a book, though.
No?
No. Once I read something, I want to move on.
Yeah. Nope. I like to go back on certain ones and reread them. There's this one book by Nicholas Sparks. I can see the cover, and I can't think of the name, and I'm trying to see if it's on my bookshelf. And of course it's not, but I've read that book like 4 times.
Love it. Oh, really? Yeah, I can't do that. Now, I'll keep a book that is a favorite of mine, and I want to keep it and not share it with anybody, but I never go back and reread it. And then most of the books that I get, I just give out. Like, take it, read it, give it on to the person next to you, which is one of the reasons why I'm not a fan of Audible, right? Because you do want to share a good book.
Right. You do. Yeah. And you
once
can't.
You read it. Yeah. That's the part I don't like about it. So, hey, you had a pool day the other day.
I did. On Sunday. So,
I had a pool day on Sunday too, basically. Oh. While I was, so when Lorelai kicked me back out the second time, I just embraced it at that point. And I was like, fuck it. I'm going to take off my DIY clothes and go put on my bikini and lay out back.
Okay. So very nice.
I had a pool day, but as you guys know, I don't have a pool. So my pool day consisted of my neighbor just got a pool. And I could hear my neighbor and her kids in her pool. And I could hear her music in by their pool. And I could hear their kids like splashing around. And so when I was watching the ant colony, it was kind of like I was laying out next to their pool with the benefit of not getting splashed by the kids. Because I hate getting wet. I also, you know, when I go to your house, I don't like to swim. I'm not a swimmer. I just want to lay out. It was literally the perfect fucking pool day. So I don't even think my neighbors realized that I had a pool day with them. But we jointly had a pool day together. They just didn't know that I was there on the other side of the fence laying out the whole time.
Kind
of
like a creeper.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But it's all good because it works for you, right?
Right, right. Exactly.
Yeah. So our pool day was, we were celebrating Mason's birthday because it was on Monday. Yeah. And he had turned 13, so we decided to not do any chores and just kind of take the day. I got out my zero gravity chair and I laid out. And before a lot of the people came over, I lay down in the sun. And I was like, nobody bother me. Nobody. Mm-hmm. Just leave me alone. And then when people showed up, I'll be entertaining. But before that, everybody can fuck off.
Oh, so did you guys have people over? Are you done social distancing?
Yes.
So, well, let's talk about that a little bit. So, because that's on part of our thing of, you know, tomorrow for our county, the in-home is lifted.
Right.
So you guys are no longer, what's your feeling about going back to normal? You guys are all in?
Oh, we're all in. Pretty much. We have 99% of the time social distanced, pretty much stayed at home, except for going to the grocery store, getting the super, you know, the things that we needed to get. And then, you know, Mason's birthday party. And we had Mason's dad come over, who's, you know, Dion's cousin. His mom and her husband showed up. And then it was just us. So, and Colton and his boyfriend came over. So, I mean, it was all family.
Oh, well, that's not so bad.
No, it wasn't like we had a whole bunch of kids running around, you know? So, technically it wasn't social distancing, but oh well. Everybody's so fine.
Are you guys all going back to work and going back out in public and your husband will start traveling again and everything's just back to normal?
Yeah. As far as I'm aware of, as soon as he's allowed to do that, he'll go back out there and do it because, hey, we got a business to run and he's got to, you know, he has to wine and dine these people. So as soon as the restaurants and stuff and the bars open back up, you know, he's going to go out there.
And how are you guys going to approach? Because I'll tell you, as much as I, and quite honestly, I'm not over quarantine. I miss talking to random people. I miss being out on the road and some freedom. But I'm also okay just doing this if this is what's going to keep our family safe.
Right.
And there's no known answer that if everybody just rushes out there that everybody's going to get sick.
Right.
So
I understand that.
I wonder how the reaction is going to be for, like, if you had invited other people to your house over the weekend besides your relatives, what the response from those people would be. Like,
right.
do you,
if,
Do you think that everybody is ready just to go back to normal? And do you think that's the safest thing to do or not?
I think that is a personal decision that people have to make for themselves. So if you're not comfortable going out or being around other people, I respect that. Mm-hmm. And I respect your decision to stay home. And especially if you are someone who has a low immune system or your autoimmune is, you're compromised, right? Someone who has health issues, you know, I don't expect those people to go rushing out, right? But I mean, if you're a healthy person and you're out there going, and everybody's taking the precautions that everybody's supposed to be taking while you're out there, I don't see what the problem is, right? I mean, I guess part of me goes, we lose more people to the flu than we have to coronavirus, and we've never shut down our economy for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm torn. Like I feel, and I worry for people who have it, right? And who get sick from it. But there are people who get sick from the flu and we don't do this massive reaction.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really know what the right response is. I'm torn. I really, really am, because I don't want people to think that I'm insensitive. But at the same time, I mean, we're destroying our economy. And so where's the balance?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Where's the solution?
Well, I think, I guess the hardest part about all of this is just the unknown, right? There's no way to say that you're right or wrong.
Right.
There's no way to prove that. Do you think this 8 weeks was necessary?
I think this 8 weeks was necessary, but not for the disease. I think this 8 weeks was necessary for us as a society.
Mm-hmm.
We needed to go home. And we needed mm-hmm. to be with our families. And we needed to really, really suffer for a hot minute and to become appreciative of our family, right? Mm-hmm. And those small things. Mm-hmm. I do believe that. I don't know if you've noticed, but when you do go out now, people are nicer. Mm-hmm. People are kinder. They're, you know, willing to extend a hand to your neighbor instead of getting all uppity and negative. And do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Do you think that this 8 weeks will slow down our society at all from that standpoint? So now we have this ability to take a step back and see how fast everything was moving. Do you think that when they open the floodgates that Americans aren't just going to run the way that we're used to?
I don't know. I don't know what Americans are going to do. I mean,
yeah,
I like the slow lifestyle. Mm-hmm. I like the self-pacing. But I also live a very different lifestyle than most Americans, mm-hmm. right? I have a farm, and we work on the farm. We get up, we feed the animals. Everybody's got chores and we work together. And I mean, I'm with my husband, I'd probably say 85% of the time,
mm-hmm.
you know, in society, normally you're not with your spouse that much.
Right. Yeah. I'm not sure, you know, for me personally, I think, you know, how you feel about going back to normal is a very independent, feeling and thought, and whatever anybody's going to do, then we all have to individually support what they mentally. There's some people that can't mentally withstand this any longer. There's some people that just aren't mentally strong enough to be on their own and locked in their home. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. There are some people that their jobs just can't allow them to sit at home any longer. Those people, by all means, go out there.
Right.
My crew, we're going to stay home until we don't have to any longer. You know, like my kids asked, or my son said, okay, well, when can I see my friends? And I said, well, you can expect at least May 15th, if not later. And he was like, okay. And I said, let's just see. Let's see what happens over the next 2 to 3 weeks when everybody else goes back out there.
And see what happens.
Yeah. We don't have to be those people. If there's other people that have the need to go out there, go. My job right. doesn't, even I'm in sales, I'm not required to do it. My company is not pushing for it. They're not asking for it. We're even recommending to our clients that they shouldn't be opening up right away. You know, okay. This should be a staggered event because now there's mm-hmm. liability attached to it. You don't want to get customers sick. You don't want to be responsible for getting your employees sick by pushing them for money, mm-hmm. right? By pushing them for your own gain. So, we're going to enjoy it as long as we can and be the part of the society that just stays back. We'll stay back right. and still help flatten the curve while people that need to work can go out there.
Right. Exactly. And I agree with that. And like, yeah, I think it's an independent decision based off of your personal needs, what's going on in your household and that sort of thing.
I think, unfortunately, have we learned from this? No. I think that there's people that will hear what you and I have said and will call you stupid or ignorant for going out. They'll call me stupid and ignorant for not going out. And I don't think America has learned any different. Right. We're, you know, going against our president. We're going against this person. It's still the left versus the right. I don't think we've learned shit at this point. I think as soon as the floodgates open and as soon as June 1st, July 1st, whatever, my company, then my calendar will be filled again.
Right.
It's the way of life. And this time, I'll just look at this time as a blessing. This was a great 3 months we had. It will probably never happen again.
No, probably not. And I got a question. Do you think that maybe this is another way to judge other people? Say, for example, my opinion is that, like, in our household, Dan's got to get back out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
People are going to judge him for doing it and not staying home. And other people are going to possibly, like, judge you for staying home and not going back out and into the work. Do you feel like it's another way to divide America? That we're using something else to divide ourselves?
I think we always will naturally because we can't help it. We are so competitive. We are so opinionated as Americans because it's a freedom that we have that we mm-hmm. overly use it. And right. we're going to state our opinion until, even if nobody's fucking asked for it.
Right. They just,
we're going to do it. Yeah. We can't fucking help it. And we can't help but pin each other against each other. So I think, yeah, the next step will be judging people for either not working, they're going to be called lazy, they're going to be called this, they're going to be called that, or if they go out, they're going to be selfish and dangerous and reckless mm-hmm. and blah, 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 blah. So whatever, you do you, basically.
Right.
And do whatever's best for your family. So what I can tell you we should be doing is, did you see the part of my notes where it says Lorelai walked in?
Yeah. Is that what I think that meant?
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy. No wonder she wants an adult bedroom.
So, last Wednesday, Thursday in the morning, uh-huh. I decide that I'm going to go have sex with my husband, who's now working his ever since week two, he's been working out of the guest room, right? He's got a desk and shit.
Oh, he moved into the guest room? I thought he was still in the kitchen.
No, no, no. Last 7 weeks have been in the guest room and he loves it in there. He's actually been having a great time in there. I find him like laying in the bed sometimes, sleeping in there. I don't know, whatever. So I go in there and I straddle him in the chair and I tell him like, hey, we're going to have sex. And mm-hmm. by the way, I've also locked the door. I locked the door behind me as I walked in.
Okay.
So Ethan is asleep in his room. The guest room is in between Ethan's room. And then Lorelai is all the way in the front of the house in the office doing her homework. And Nate's like, well, where are we going to have sex? The guest room bed's a little loud and this kitchen chair is a little loud. And I was like, well, you can just bend me over the kitchen chair. Then there won't be any noises, right? And he's like, okay, cool. So we both stand up, get naked. I'm standing up. And then you hear, Daddy? And the door, I guess when I had shut it, it didn't click all the way. Oh, and no. She walks in. Now, Nate ran into a corner, so she didn't see Nate, but she saw me butt naked. So she shut the door.
Okay.
So Mama should not be butt naked on the other side of the house in the guest room.
Right. So what did she say to you?
She said nothing. She just shut the door. And then Nate and I just looked at each other and we're like, oh my God. So then we sat there for about 15 minutes on the bed, just kind of like in tears and laughing, like, what right? the fuck? Who's going to go talk to her? And I know for sure Nate's never going to go talk to her. So I'm like, what am I even going to say? Like, I've texted Jen and Jamie by this time, and I'm like, you guys are never going to believe what happened. And I should have checked my phone again, because Jamie actually came up with a great idea. But instead, I was like, let me just suck this up, go be a parent, mm-hmm. and talk about sex with my almost 10-year-old. So I walk out of the room and walk into the office, and she was like, no, I don't want to talk about it. And I was like, just come into my room. And she was like, I know what was going on and I don't want to talk about it. And I was like, come on. So we go into my room, and both of it, Lorelai and I are both cracking up.
So like, I just have to straight up say, your daughter deserves an adult bedroom just for that right there. Oh yeah.
It gets totally. Worse. It gets worse.
So it gets worse?
Yeah. So she says that she knows what was going on. We're in my bedroom now, and it's just the two of us. And both of us are having a hard time even looking at one another.
Right.
And I was like, so listen, you know, when I said that parents only have sex to have a baby, obviously that's not true.
Okay.
They still, because that's what I told her before, that only married people had sex and to have children. And that's the only time. So she was like, oh, so you and daddy have only had sex twice? Yes, that's it. Twice.
Okay.
So I said, obviously that was a lie. And she goes, well, I know that. And I said, how? And she goes, well, a few months ago, I woke up on a Saturday morning and I heard weird noises coming from your room. And I figured it out then. And I was like, all right, that's probably true. I am a morning sex person. That's probably 100% true. Concerned about the noises. Don't know what that was. Don't know. So then I'm like laughing some more. And I'm like, all right, well, listen, I'm sorry if you have any questions. I said, but number one rule is fucking knock. Right? You just don't walk into anybody's room. Anywhere in this house besides yours. This is why we yell at you constantly. Because she does it in my bedroom all the time.
Right.
Now, granted, she wasn't expecting a naked mom in her father's guest room office. But that's not my fault.
No.
So.
But maybe now she'll knock from now on.
Oh, I guarantee. Listen, she has knocked on every single door ever since Thursday. Now, she says to me, she goes, now she's trying to make me feel better. Cause like I still have tears in my eyes but I'm laughing too. Cause I'm uncomfortable. And I'm like, listen, no, she goes, Mama, I'm gonna forget all about it. Don't worry about it. She said, I just forgot all about that morning, that Saturday morning until now. And I said, sweetie, you're never going to forget about this.
No.
I said, Daddy and I were just talking about when I walked in on my parents, and when Daddy walked in on Grand and Papa, and when Ethan walked in, and she was like, oh, it happened to Ethan too. And I was like, yeah, like you're never like, I'm sorry, but this is a moment. Go put it in your fucking diary. This is a moment.
Yep. You'll never forget it.
No. So that's it. So I didn't have sex that day.
No, I bet you didn't.
And this motherfucker just asked me if I wanted to come have sex with him in his office now. And I was like, are you kidding me?
What?
You can like write that off your list. It's never happening.
Yeah, dude, you're stuck to the bedroom now.
Yeah, we're not traumatizing our children any further than we already have.
Wow. That's crazy. Yeah,
so we had the birds.
So what was Jamie's great idea, though?
Oh, yeah. So then I look at my phone and she said, you should tell her that you were trying on some of my clothes that you left there.
Oh.
Fucking genius.
Yeah.
Could have easily just squashed it.
Right, because she didn't see Nate. You could have been like, I'm changing.
Right.
I mean, there were no... So basically, you told on yourself.
I did, yeah. I should have looked at my phone. Yeah. So, anyways, yeah, birds and the bees talk. I'm blaming Andrew Schultz for that, though, because Andrew Schultz had just posted on Flagrant 2 that him and his girlfriend are only having morning sex now. Because he said, if you think about it, primates don't have sex at night. The only reason humans have sex at night is because of schedules. But what other animals have sex at night? The rest, if you go to the zoo, those fucking lions and stuff are humping in the middle of the day. I've seen a lion humping. Like, the only reason we have sex at night is because of the schedules we give ourselves. But most animals have sex during the day. And so he said, I'm only having sex during the day. If you're having sex at night during Corona, you're not living your life, right? So that morning I woke up and I was like, hey, why not?
Exactly. There you go. I don't have sex at night, though. We only have...
No. At all?
Because by the end of the day, Sabrina, I'm tired and I don't want to do it. Don't get near me. I've been in the dirt. I've been weed eating. I've been out building shit. I'm tired. I'm dirty. No, you want it?
Mm-hmm.
We fucking do it in the middle of the day. And I don't do morning sex because I'm dry as shit in the morning. So there's a window. There's a window of opportunity. And if you miss it, you miss it. But I can guarantee you, I don't miss my window of opportunity.
That's funny. That's funny. Well, speaking of boss bitches in charge, what about the future of North Korea?
Oh my gosh. That is fucking amazing if that happens.
Well, so first, how funny was Nate side-by-side of him and Kim Jong-un?
Oh my gosh. He
looked just identical. Like them, didn't he?
Just a little whiter.
Yeah, so I, for the rest of the world, I hosted, my son and Amaris and I hosted a daddy-daughter dance for Nate and Lorelai on Friday. Nate was in a black shirt, and which the president or dictator of North Korea is normally in all black, and he's grown out his hair, and after the dance, he looked at us, or he sent me, he was the one who pointed out that he looked like
Kim Jong-un.
Yeah, that he looked like him. And then he did the side-by-side, and I just can't fucking unsee it now. Like, it is hilarious. Oh,
I bet. No, you can't, because even his fucking hair, like, it curls. If I was him, I'd shave my head.
It's so funny, yeah.
Oh.
It's so funny. So, he has not been seen in 2 weeks. They think that maybe he had a heart surgery that was botched or... something went wrong. Mm-hmm. I heard today maybe he's in a coma.
Right.
Or in a catastrophic, whatever that word is. No, catatonic. Catatonic, you know, like when you're...
Oh, yeah, catatonic. I think that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, state of some sort. So what do you think of that? The next in line would be his sister, who has an equally dumb name, Kim Yo-jung. Yep. Young.
And I think... that would be amazing because as you read further along in that article is that the biggest hang up is she's a woman because their society is rigidly controlled by men, but she's the best person for this job. She's already been in the political arena. She's in her early 30s. She's even been to summits with President Trump and the Chinese president.
So you think she's a good selection, or do you think...
Yeah, well, because...
Or what?
The way that it works in North Korea, and let me see, hold on, because I wrote it down, was the Kim family has been running North Korea since after World War II when the U.S. and the Soviet Union split up the Korea Peninsula. And they've built one of the world's most vigorous personality cults, making claim to legitimacy and dictatorship, a bloodline said to stem from sacred Mount Patiku near the Chinese border. So in their culture, this bloodline is more important than gender.
Right.
So it's kind of interesting. And then people doubted Kim Jong-un leadership as a 20-year-old, but then he turned around, executed his uncle and a one-time deputy, Jang Song-taek. Again, I don't know if I'm saying this right or not.
Yeah, who knows.
He was also suspected to have ordered the killing of his exiled half-brother. So, yeah. It's kind of crazy.
Have you read about her? I think it's interesting that there'll be a female leader for such a country that has had a male leader for so long. I did read where they said that the bloodline for just the Kim family is just a dynasty, and that it didn't matter whether it was female or male up next, but that they are used to a male leader, but not that they would not follow a female leader, and that in the roles that she has right now, that she is equally feared and respected in those roles, because I think that she's a little fucking crazy too. Like, she's been kicked out of world organizations just like her brother because of the fact that they support killing people with no issues whatsoever. So she might be equally as crazy.
Right. What was it I read? Someone also in the article said, when she's risen as high as she's already has, she is no longer considered a woman, but a leader who inherited greater legitimacy to rule others. So in the article, I got both sides. Like, people are saying she's going to be able to do it, no problem. And then other people who are saying, well, she might not be able to control the old men in power. But, you know, considering all of this, and people doubted Kim Jong-un in the beginning, and now they're doubting her. I wonder if she killed her own brother to get in line.
Yeah, that's quite possible, right? Yeah. And I worry that what is going to happen is, because there might be some doubt about her abilities to rule, very similar to the show we're watching, Miss America, right? When Shirley is running for VP of the presidency, and they interview some Americans and they ask if a female could be president. And this was back in the 70s. So, of course, you know, that answers are a little skewed, but the answer is no, that they don't think that a female could be leader, that we're too emotional. Right. Will she do something fucking crazy just to show that her balls are just as big as her brother's?
Oh, fuck yeah. And let me tell you what, all this game about manipulation and controlling people, shit, we got that shit down pat. I don't know what...
Well, for real, right? Like, if you're talking about mental warfare, bring it on. There's no doubt in my mind that she could out-chess move a man and play their game.
Especially since she spent her entire life in this arena.
100%.
So 100%. I would love to see, and I know this sounds weird, but I would love to see a woman be a dictator of North Korea. I mean, not right. that well, I like I North think... Korea anyway, because they're fucking crazy, but if a woman can become a dictator of North Korea, there is nothing we can't fucking do anywhere else in the world.
Not just that, but I also think that that a female is more than capable of doing it, where we are very vindictive. So there's no doubt in my mind that she's going to do something crazy just to show her balls. You have to, right? You have to go in there and make a splash and show that you're not a weak, sensitive girl. The other thing is I think that she would be more approachable by a country like us, because I think that a female is more rational. We don't have the ego that men do, where we can make power moves and understand that, yeah, we're going to break this bread with you, but understand that I have a gun pointed at you. We can have dinner, but I will shoot you in a second. And I feel like she will make moves to improve her country, still do crazy shit, but still be welcomed at a table somehow. Right. I just think that she'll be able to find that balance. I don't think she's going to be a sane person, though, but whatever. Well, I think it's just a bloodline.
Nobody's going to be sane in that position anyways because it's a dictatorship, right? I mean,
right.
Their culture is not sane to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So her moves aren't any crazier than if they came from a man.
Right. No, I agree. I agree. So we'll see what happens. I wonder how long it would take, or will they tell us if he's sick or not? They did the same thing with Castro, right? Right? That they delayed letting us know if he was actually dead, if he's not dead, if he's a...
Right.
So maybe by the time we're out of quarantine, we'll find out.
Oh, yeah, because that'll be the new news thing, right?
Right. I did notice there's some things on Fox News that the other day Fox News, for the first time in 8 weeks, did not have Corona at the top of the app. So it was talking about the Democratic race. So let's fast forward to that. Biden, I guess.
Okay.
Is the only lead. Is that right?
As far as I'm aware.
That's a candidate.
Which kind of...
So when we... Yeah, right? Because when we last talked about this over 8 weeks ago, we were still in the middle of the candidacy and we were going to do the primaries and there was a bunch of different options. And then during this corona...
Everybody dropped out.
Everybody dropped out.
Right, because those people needed to go and see...
Take care of their
states.
Well,
take care of their states, but then they also needed to go out and see people and talk to people in rallies and they couldn't do that. So, but, you know, I don't understand about Bloomberg. Why? Why did Bloomberg get in? He got in, spent a shit ton of money, and then dropped out. It was like a half-ass attempt.
I think he just had enough money where he could do it, and he wanted to try and swing it and see if maybe he'd get a cult following the same way Trump did, and it didn't work out for him. And what is it to him to you know, spend that amount of money, whatever. He's moving on and still in his mansion. Right. I think it's more interesting that, not Biden, who's the other old guy?
Sanders.
Yeah, that Bernie Sanders is now backing Biden. Bernie Sanders is not a Democrat. Mm-mm. And why would he support Biden when he doesn't believe in the platform that Biden even stands for? Why wouldn't he just say, I don't support any of these guys? And why wouldn't he run as an independent?
I have no idea. And I don't know. I don't know. Maybe because he didn't think he could do it. And I don't know if he gave up like his delegate. I don't know. I really don't know. It's weird.
I don't know. I think it's stupid. I think pretty much Trump has won at this point. I think we can declare the 2020 elections over. I will eat a fucking shoe if Biden wins. I mean, give me a break.
I know. I mean, on the last episode, I had found an article. 8 women came forward about Joe Biden's inappropriate behavior, made them feel uncomfortable, and one was sexual harassment, like straight on. He finger banged her.
No, well, that's not sexual harassment. That's assault.
You're right. And
yeah, I mean, you stick your finger in my vagina and it was not asked for. That's not harassment. That's assault.
And yet we don't hear anything about that.
It is actually on the cover
is
of
it?
Fox. If you, yeah, but I'm sure that our Democratic listeners don't typically read Fox News, but it is at the top of Fox News. Of course, that is what is outshining the coronavirus at this point. It'll be interesting to see how quickly everybody stops talking about Corona and we start talking about this again, right? Because this is where we were 8 weeks ago. It's basically going to be like these last 2 months just didn't happen.
Right. It was kind of like a Twilight Zone.
Right. Right. In the meantime, what I would have liked to see happen, did you see my little note about should the U.S. invade a Caribbean island?
Yeah, I saw that, but I didn't understand that.
This is part of my genius thinking this weekend. This is why I needed an extra week.
While you were watching an ant farm.
Yes. So this is what I thought of. This is how it happened. I now have a $2,600 credit with American Airlines because my trip to California has been canceled. And they will not give you a refund unless the time is... They will not give you a cash refund unless the time has been changed by 60 minutes and we're only at 42 minutes. So if not, what we'll have to do is just have an credit with the airline. So I have to spend $2,600
okay.
with the airlines and figure out somewhere else for me and my family to go, right? So where am I going to go for $2,600 that I don't need a passport? Hawaii, right? Because yeah. everywhere else in the Caribbean, you need a fucking passport, which means Ethan, Lorelai, Nate all need passports. That's about $600 or $700 in just passport money that I wasn't going to have to spend before.
Right.
So in that thinking, I was like, wow, wouldn't it be nice if we could just invade one of these U.S. Caribbean islands so that we have not just a Pacific Hawaiian island, but now we have our Atlantic Hawaiian island. Same way that we have Alaska all the way up there to give us the snow if you want to go see the snow. And we have Maine up there that gives us a mix of snow and coastal northern love. We need a U.S. Caribbean island to make this place paradise.
Okay.
So I would like to sacrifice the U.S. Virgin Islands or Puerto Rico since they're already territories. Why not just make them states?
Because they have to vote to be a state.
Yeah, but they've already been. So once you sent me an article about Puerto Rico and about the fact right. that Puerto Rico has not received their stimulus checks. So while I was reading that yesterday, it connected me to the fact that I want to invade one of these islands anyway. Because, listen.
I love that Sabrina's like, I just want to invade one of these islands.
Right. Well, because, so then it made me go down a rabbit hole that Puerto Rico is already a U.S. territory. The yes. U.S. Virgin Islands is already a U.S. territory. The whole point when I started reading about territories yesterday was that eventually they would become U.S. states.
Correct.
Well, they haven't.
But Puerto
been.
Rico has? No, they haven't. So I did some extra research. Well, but they can't. They have to vote. Their country has to vote and agree to become part of the United States.
Why wouldn't they vote to do it then?
If because the government is corrupt and the government doesn't want to do it because they lose their power and they still get benefits from the government but don't really have to be part of them. They can still kind of do their own thing. Because if Puerto Rico becomes part of the United States, they have to follow all the U.S. laws. Mm-hmm. So like right now in Puerto Rico, if you own a business and you make all your money from Puerto Rico, right? You don't have to pay any income tax.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to pay any federal taxes. Now, if you're in Puerto Rico and you make your money outside of Puerto Rico or it comes from the States or anywhere else in the world, then you have to pay an income tax. So a lot of them don't have to pay taxes to us.
Yeah, but think of it from this side also where, you know, Puerto Rico... And the reason we all know so much about Puerto Rico is because it became an issue after the hurricane, right? And then they were complaining about the amount of U.S. aid that they weren't receiving. Well, guess what? The state of Florida, who pays federal taxes and we're all paying, will receive all the aid and government assistance we need in case of a hurricane because we're paying mm-hmm. taxes. Puerto Rico is also complaining about the stimulus checks. Their stimulus checks don't come from the same place as ours does. The article went on to say that, when I researched it, it said that the territories can't vote and that their money that they receive comes from a different account. It comes okay. from a different account that is set aside for our territories. So if you want the privileges and then it also said that these territories are always higher in poverty, which it's true. Puerto Rico, the Virgin mm-hmm. Islands, they struggle some. So if you don't, and you don't see states like that in our country, right? Hawaii doesn't look like that. If you want to look like us, then join the team. And then I don't have to right. get a fucking passport.
I agree. Absolutely. And let's go ahead and clarify all the aid that they supposedly didn't get. They got it.
Oh, yeah.
They just fucking hoarded it and refused to give it to their citizens.
Right, right.
So don't fucking blame the U.S.
Right. No, I agree with that too. And I just think that it needs to happen sooner or later. I think it's kind of old way of thinking that we still have territories. It reminded me of the show The Crown, which I know you just watched. Remember the queen would always go and visit her territories. Now, they owned major countries and things like that throughout Africa and Europe and Asia. Correct. But why are we still holding on to these things? Why, if we're not eventually going to make them a state, and I'm 40 years old and we haven't done it, when are we going to do it, or are we just not? And my vote is yes, so we don't need a fucking passport. We should have an East Coast Caribbean island that belongs to us.
I agree. And I don't think we should need a passport to go to the... And see, that's the funny part. We should not need a passport to go to Puerto Rico because Puerto Ricans are considered American citizens.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So why does an American need a passport to go to, even though it's a territory, but if you're born in Puerto Rico and you're considered an American, why do you need a passport?
I don't know. I don't support it. I support an invasion of Puerto Rican or the U.S. Virgin Islands. Since we're already a territory there, if we want to let them vote, let's let them vote. But I just say we go old-fashioned, stick a fucking flag in it, and then waive my need to buy 3 more passports. I'd appreciate it if we'd get this done by July 23rd.
Yes, but even 3-4 flights to Puerto Rico probably still isn't going to cost you
$2,600. I'm never going to spend that. No. Ever.
So you need to, like, go to fucking Belize is where you need to go.
It's insane. Yeah, I mean, we're just hoping, when we call the American Airlines, this is the other thing. Think about this. If the airlines is, there's only 2 airlines that are offering cash refunds for cancellations due to COVID. All others are giving you credits. So the U.S. government has said, refund that money. You guys are holding on to millions and millions and millions of U.S. dollars.
Yep.
Refund that money so our citizens can have my $2,600 back so I can put it back into the economy.
Correct. That you're going to shop online.
Right. So, well, or buy different airlines. Yeah. So it's like,
even if they're giving you a refund, their refunds only last a year.
Right.
So what happens if this lasts longer than a year? So then you are out your $2,600 and they got money for free and didn't provide a service.
Right. Yeah, which is bullshit. I agree. So I don't know. I support an invasion. I don't know why we've given up on that. That's how this world was built anyways. I also don't understand. So it said that the Philippines was a territory of the U.S. Then they chose not to be. Stupid move, man. I don't know why they would do that. I just don't understand why you wouldn't become a state and what's holding this up.
Is it culture?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
I've never been to the Philippines, so I don't know.
There were 4 countries listed. The rest of them were all small that I didn't really recognize. I think one of them might have been Somalia or something Somalia, where they did not become a state. But I'm not even sure if we offered it to them. So I don't understand what the holdup is. I don't know if anybody knows, but let us know.
It's all political. It's all a political game, you know? Mm-hmm. Someone trying to get something.
So talking about political, let's just talk about Miss America really quickly. Because I'd like to dive into it maybe when the entire series is over. Maybe dive into it per person. Because each character is pretty interesting as well. Mm-hmm. So if people don't know, Miss America is playing on
Hulu.
Hulu? Is it only on Hulu? Is it a Hulu original?
I know it's not on Netflix.
Okay.
I can tell you that.
So I'm watching it on Hulu too. So I'm not sure if it's just exclusive on Hulu. It might be. I don't know. What are your thoughts on it?
So I'm very torn. And so let me give everybody a little bit of background. You guys have to remember I have lesbian mothers. My background is very liberal. So I'm a lot of torn in between this because it's from the perspective of the stop ERA.
Mm-hmm.
And I find myself not liking some things on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't like the fact that they've put together this organization to stop the ERA, right?
Which the ERA is the Equal Rights Amendment.
Correct. And that means that women are considered equal among men when it comes to laws.
Mm-hmm.
So what I don't like is that the women are fighting women. Mm-hmm. And this happens all the time. This happened in the 1919 when women were trying to get the right to vote. Women were fighting against each other for these rights and then had to turn around and fight the men.
Mm-hmm.
So that was part of the part that I had a hard time with. But the ERA, there was something that really bugged me in one of the first episodes, and it was they were all sitting around the corner and one woman said, "We don't want to isolate the housewives."
Mm-hmm.
And then the other woman turned around and said, "Yes, we do. We're fighting against them." And then Gloria Steinem, is that how you say her last name?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Turned around and said, "It's a revolution and people get left behind."
Mm-hmm.
Which makes me really think. But at the same time, they're trying to say if they want to stay home and have their babies, they can do that. But at the same time, you're telling them they don't get to be part of it. So it's very convoluted for me.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Which side do you think you'd be on?
My initial reaction is obviously to be on the ERA side.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But I was born into that. Mm-hmm. Right? You know? And I understand where the ERA is coming from. I understand the maternity rights, the child care rights, and I even to a point understand the abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I don't like how they pushed so hard on the abortion. Now, of course, mind you, we live in 2020 and hindsight is 2020.
Right.
So looking back, maybe they should have focused more on birth control.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of the abortion. But I understand at the same time in the 1970s, women were having botch abortions and being slaughtered on the fucking kitchen table as well.
Right.
So it's kind of like, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. And like, I understand and I get it because women have the right to be able to make their own money, provide their own selves for their own life, and not have to depend on a man.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, I'm kind of torn. Like, I don't like the Phyllis side because there was another part that drove me nuts, too. She was sitting there having a conversation with her husband about Harvard Law and learning how to write a legal document. And she says, "I got invited to go to Harvard Law." And to which her husband says, "You can't make statements like that because a simple phone call will prove that you got invited to Harvard Law 1945, 3 years before they made it co-ed." And right. Her comment was, "They would have made an exception for me."
Mm-hmm.
No, they wouldn't have.
Right.
So you're fighting the women who want to get equal rights so you could have actually gone to Harvard Law, the establishment that actually discriminated against you.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a hard time with that as well. I'm like, well, wait, hello?
Mm-hmm.
You,
do you think that the series is pinning one side as a bad guy and one side as a good guy?
I can't answer that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't know. I see both sides having their dark moments.
Right.
Right? Like, the Stop the ERA had that one lady who made comments, the racial
yes.
slurs. Do you remember that? Uh-huh. Yes. So I went, holy shit, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because you guys are supposed to be all these good, wholesome women, and then you're right. saying things like that, and I'm like, ugh.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But then at the same time, the RA is slicing and dicing as well. So
I liked that. So the female versus female thought aspect of it, I actually mm-hmm. like, because I think it's true, right? We don't need men to fight against us. We're fighting against one another anyways, right? Even today, it's no different than a stay-at-home mom versus a working mom. You know, there's no doubt in my mind which side I would stand on. Even being a woman that, I am a mixed breed. I believe in some gender roles. I believe in supporting my husband and playing the wife as the role and a mother as needed. However, I would have been on the steps of those stairs fighting with the ERA and fighting for equal rights. I think I like that it shows. I think that at the end of this is the hopeful feeling is that what we realize is that if women just joined together, mm-hmm. our vote would have so much power, right? We would have so much power mm-hmm. in the numbers if we would just speak for ourselves and not our husbands, if we would think for ourselves and not our children, if we would think for our daughters and their futures and not getting dinner on the table. You can be a successful wife and a good mom and still have a job and life outside of the home. Right.
If you and want to, not a necessity.
If you want to, correct. Right. Yeah. And, you know, I think the time piece makes sense, right? Because there's some of it. So I'm watching it now and we're talking about the 1970s where there were really good moms. You know, they were really good housewives.
Yes.
It wasn't
laying on the couch. Right.
Yeah. Like the image from the 80s and 90s, right? Like these were good. And it makes me kind of miss that wholesomeness where I'm like, okay, well maybe these women were right when they were saying they want to fight for the
family
way,
unit
or that time. Yeah. That family unit. I get that. However, voting against and fighting women leave us only in that position where one of the most infuriating moments I had was when they asked Phyllis to take notes.
Mm-hmm.
They were all men talking. And they looked at her. She was in the middle of speaking. And they said, why don't you go get a pen and take notes?
Yeah.
Why don't you ask fucking Bob to do that? Bob, who's sitting in the corner not saying anything.
Right.
Why would you look at the woman? And then that makes me, like, to me, like, I have flashbacks of me being the one taking the notes. Me being the one to do all these things. Even though there was a male counterpart that probably should have been doing the one. I was bringing something to the table. Why did she, like that one moment pissed me off. And you can see it on her where she's like, what the fuck?
Right. And to which I wonder why she continued her fight. Like, mm-hmm. That's the part I don't understand. I mean, these two groups could have came together and found a compromise. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I think the reason being is because you see the men aren't playing key roles, but they truly are, right? Because they are using these women that they know. The men in these series, they know they need women.
To a point.
In this campaign. And so they're using Phyllis as a mouthpiece to get her to bring all these other housewives to vote on their side because they need us.
Right.
But then they're using these women as pawns, even on the ERA side.
Yeah.
You say a couple wrong things to a lesbian and to take away her rights or whatever it might be, you're going to fucking fire her up.
Right.
Right? So she's going to get on that mic and fire everybody else up. So the men that aren't playing the biggest roles in this film, they're back there kind of working and twerking these women or twisting them and getting them riled up to fight their war.
Correct. And so do you remember the part where she was negotiating with not McCain, but what was his name? What was his name? The front runner for president.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You're talking about Shirley?
Yeah, not
the black lady. That...
Right. She was running against, what's his name? Who was she?
Yeah.
So this guy, his aide, went to Gloria and they made a deal. She wasn't supposed to talk about women being botched abortions on the kitchen table before the vote. And then he was going to allow a fair fight for the vote of abortion on the floor. Well,
right.
She followed her point. They turned around, and because they had control of the phones, they turned in, called all their delegates back in to vote no on abortion. And his words to her was, "I'm so sick and tired of you women."
Right.
So it's no wonder it was a man versus a woman fight. Because men didn't take women seriously.
No. Mm-mm. I really feel like that they're using these women through this. And what I'm hoping at the end is, like I said, that us as women from 2020 that will watch this and say, man, they should have been working together. They really want the same thing, right?
Right?
I want to be able to say, I want to stay at home with my kids. I want to be able to say, no, I want to be a boss bitch and run the corporate world. And everybody be okay with that. And that still make me a good mom and a good woman and a good representative for who we are as women.
Right. Exactly.
Without pinning one another against each other.
And I don't feel, and you know, it's so interesting because, you know, in this process, men could have offered to stay at home, but they didn't. Men could have said, okay,
right.
I'm going to stay home and raise the kids and let you go work out, right? But they weren't doing that. They, at that time, they were trying to confine women to the household.
Right.
And even the housewives who were, you know, stepping out and protesting and all this sort of stuff. I mean, their husbands weren't supportive either. And if you look at that group, this was the other thing I had an issue with, was that group was a very privileged group.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yes, they were raising children. But if you hadn't noticed, Phyllis had a staff in the background.
The funny thing is, I watched that, I told you about it before, and I always forget this fucking comedian's name, but she used to have a late night talk show, blonde lady, trashy mouth, but she has a documentary where she's talking about race and racism, right? And at one point, she goes down to either Texas or Tennessee, and she interviews Republican women that all belong to some group together. And it literally looks like Phyllis and her friends sitting around. It is high privileged white Republican women trying to talk about women issues. And they keep saying, that's not a big deal. That's not a big deal. And so then she says to them at one point, well, maybe if you are a mom working 3 part-time jobs, it is a big deal.
Right.
Do you guys work? Well, no. Do you guys take care? Well, no, my kid goes to this school and goes to that. So you're not the same. And Phyllis and her friends, they don't represent
the entire population.
Right.
And because, let's be really honest, it's the same thing with men, right? There are some men that are in high status and there's some men that are in low status, right? And that's why they all need to come together to figure out where the common line is.
Right.
You know, and
I think, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You're fine.
I was going to say, I like that they've divided each episode into each woman. Because did you know about Shirley before?
Very vaguely did I know about Shirley. Because I do remember reading, because I think, no, she's not the first one, because there was a woman, there was a black woman who tried to run for president in the 1800s. But I did know, I do remember about Shirley, because she was for the vice president. And then I have a
Shirley
question.
Shirley Chisholm is her name.
Right.
Chisholm, yeah. I had never heard of her before and didn't even know that she was the first female and first black person to run for the presidency. I didn't even know who she was in history. So I am excited to that they've divided each episode into each person.
Yep.
Because also Gloria is such, now she is such a far left wing where all of us kind of look at her and I'm like, I don't know if I would share the stairs with her back in the 1970s. I think that this is making her more likable and to understand how she got into the feminist title and lead and all of that, that they were pushing her to be the lead and the mouthpiece for the feminist movement.
Right. Cause she was not initially that one. She even said at one point, she goes, I don't even understand the politics.
Right. Yeah.
So
I do like that we'll get to learn a little bit about her.
And then Stella, the other woman, mm-hmm. she seemed to be the most sound. She's like, look,
right,
you can't isolate. You got to work with them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, because... Because you know how a lot of people think that if you're a feminist or a lesbian, you're a man hater.
Right.
And that came from this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't think isolate, and it's kind of hard because obviously there were douchebag men in there, right? And it's a tough game. And so they were fighting that. But at the same time, you gotta need them to get in at the right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get a little annoyed with, you know, there's comments left and right from the male characters of, oh yeah, you should wear that when you show up on my show. And she was like in her lingerie and robe, or oh, she's really pretty. Hey, don't forget to smile. Don't forget. So you can see these little sexist comments that today would not be allowed. And today is what is getting people in trouble, including Joe Biden, besides the finger banging of things for decades men have been saying to us on all platforms that they shouldn't.
Correct.
That in this show, it's not even a big deal. Like, it is just dialogue.
And it is just dialogue if you take into consideration the time frame.
Right. I did not like in the very first episode when Phyllis comes back from DC and her husband wants to have sex.
I don't remember that one.
So she comes back from DC and she's talking about how sweaty she is. She's been traveling all day, and he said he's still kissing her and is like, "Come on, I want to have sex." And she I don't believe that she said no. She just went with it. And so then it ends and goes to commercial with her on the bed. He's kissing her neck and you know that they're having sex and she wasn't into it. So to me, that just, it wasn't necessary.
But it was necessary because that proves a point, because at that time, women were still expected to serve their husband even a sexual manner if she wasn't in the mood, because marital mm-hmm. rape wasn't considered a thing until 1990.
Right. Yeah, I guess my thought of it is that, like, to me, quite honestly, if I would have come into town and after a day of travel, and if my husband wants to have sex, I'm just going to do it. This is a team. We're a team together.
Right.
That it doesn't mean that guy was a terrible guy, or that, because we can't help and look at that and look and think, oh God, that's spousal rape. How about it's just you itching his back the way he itches your back every once in a while, right?
Okay.
Like, we don't have to, like, to me, it was just like, Oh, God. Like, that's taking it a jump.
I didn't mean to say that scenario was marital rape. Let me clarify.
Right.
Okay, no, because that's not what I meant. I was just clarifying that that was something during that time that was expected of the wives with no, I'm not in the mood, no, you know, that right. sort of thing. And I was just referencing a law.
Yeah, I don't think you'll be the only one who will reference that, though. And that's why I'm just, there's so much going on. I just don't think we need that. I think that is a personal decision between a man and a wife mm-hmm. of whether you just do it or you don't.
Right.
Now, I agree that if she had said no, which I'd have to go back and listen, but I know she says, like, hey, I'm all sweaty. I've been traveling all day. I'm really tired. And he was like, oh, come on. It's just going to take a few minutes.
Right. But if she's been brought up to not say no to her husband, right. that is her subtle way of saying no.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that I would have had a different feeling about it if maybe he had shoved her down on the bed.
Right.
But she was like, okay. All right, let's do this. And then she looks off into the camera like this sad person. Like, I don't know. I don't know. I just
don't know
felt
if
like
it's
I was
dramatizing
like,
it a bit.
Right.
Or if it really was like that. And maybe it wasn't like that for everybody. And maybe it was just a one-off scenario.
Right. I just feel like it's just something that there's so much going on. There's the word abortion is being thrown left and right. I don't need to see this part yet. Let's make a whole nother show when it comes to whether you're doing it with your husband or not after a long day.
Right. Yeah, because they
let's keep, not.
Yeah, because they're talking yeah. about the thing that I found that was crazy was in the Betty one, she now she's starting to get jealous of Gloria. So now within the ERA, you've got Betty who wrote the book that started the feminist movement. Gloria's become the center star of it. And Betty's now getting jealous because, in her mind, that should be her.
Right.
And she's getting pushed off to the side. And then, even at 1973, Roe versus Wade went through. So women have the right to abortion up to the first 3 months. And then, I remember this one part, she automatically started saying that they needed to start making it more affordable for people, mm-hmm. right? And then it was like getting free abortions. And I was going, really? Guys, really? It's like, mm-hmm. you gotta just, you keep pushing and pushing. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. I haven't gotten as far as I've only watched Phyllis, Gloria, and Shirley.
Okay.
So I think Betty is the next episode
yeah.
where, yeah, I just don't. So I guess there's two sides where we can say show it all because that's the truth of where we were at that time. And it's also, well, what's the goal of this doc or this show or series?
Right.
And if there's a goal, then the last thing you want to do is, I don't know, put too many colors on the paint board, so I don't know which one to look at.
And I feel like that's what's going on. Because, like, there's moments
right.
you're like, go ERA. And moments you're like,
mm-hmm.
well, stop ERA kind of has a point. And it's like this and this,
mm-hmm.
and it's all over the fucking place. And even as a woman who can handle a shit ton of stuff everywhere,
right.
it's still too much.
It is. It's a lot. It's a lot. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes. It'll be interesting to see the reviews and what people think of it.
Yeah.
And I don't know who it was created by. Was it created or written by a male or female? Because
I don't know.
If it was written by a male, I kind of have a problem with that. I don't like that if they're going to show interfighting between women. And then also, what's that writer's goal, right? If it's a man and he's still trying to divide us.
Right.
Then what am I watching? I should probably look into
probably,
see who wrote
but
it.
But, I mean, also it could have been a historian because we really did have a stop in ERA and we did have an ERA.
Right.
So let's be really honest. Women were fighting women during that time. That had nothing
right.
to do with a male writer.
Well, let me ask you this, and this is connected to like a standard typical marriage and it ties into this, along with the fact that Kristen Cavallari and Jay Cutler this week announced their divorce, right?
Okay.
I don't know if you know, one's a football player, one was on the Hills and Laguna Beach. Okay. So it made me, I was in the shower this morning thinking about their divorce because I'm actually, I love Kristen Cavallari. I think she's great. They had said in their divorce paper, hers filed, that he had committed adultery. And then it said that she had done it after him in reaction to, and that hers should be forgiven because it was reaction and not proactive. And either way, they're filing for divorce. So in my mind, I was like, you know, they're fucking selfish. Why don't they just try? Like, all right, I messed up. You messed up. Let's just give this another year and keep pushing forward because they have kids. And so then I thought about you and Dion. And so this is the question I want to pose to
okay.
you. Do you think that it lessens your relationship any that you don't have a shared child together and that it could be easier to get a divorce on your side? Do you feel less invested
no.
in it? And this makes me think of just this, and we've talked about this before, women that think women should have children, right? Like they always look at you and say, is that your next step? Do you think that it deepens a relationship and a commitment to have children to one another? Obviously, Kristen Cavallari and a ton of people, since the divorce rate is 50%, the answer is no, right. but I want your opinion.
So for me, not having children does not have an effect on my commitment to my husband. Do you mm-hmm. know what I mean? I love yeah, my uh-huh. husband. I would never cheat. I've never cheated a day in my life. And I have also let him know that if he was to cheat, which he never would, because that's not his personality, that's not his way, it'd be over. Whether we have children or not,
mm-hmm.
you know? I can understand how having children can deepen your relationship with someone because you look at this child and you go, I created this with this person, right? So now you have a connection, right? I mm-hmm. can understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But my relationship with my husband is so deep and we understand each other and we get each other. And I couldn't ask for anybody else but him because mm-hmm. we're both weird. Like we're on the same wavelength. We understand what's going on and... I mean,
do you think it makes it easier for a married couple without children to get a divorce because there's been less of a commit? Do you think that there's less of a commitment to one another when there isn't a child involved then?
No.
Because then you can walk away. It's only your two feelings that you're considering instead of children as well.
If you're staying in a relationship because of children, you're making the wrong decision because you should be making the decision whether to stay in a committed relationship based on those two people. Because
mm-hmm.
if you stay in a marriage, a bad marriage for the children, and you have resentment towards each other, what are you teaching your children? You're teaching your children mm-hmm. to suck it up and suffer through, to hell with your feelings, and that's not the right message. So,
mm-hmm. or if we're just talking, let's just say we're talking about a bad marriage without sexual, physical,
right.
verbal abuse, right? Besides the normal arguments that would incur if there was cheating or divorce coming along. Or could your children see it as my parents were happily married for 20 years, but I can remember 2 years of my life that my dad made a mistake and him and my mom fucking fought and it was crazy, but they recommitted to each other. And so then the parents are step back and say, look, I fucked up, you fucked up, I don't like you, you don't like me, but we have these two kids, let's try to work this out. And then maybe at the end of that year, if they decide it didn't work,
right.
Then they divorce. But then maybe, so there's a part of me that thinks that having kids does help seal that commitment, mm-hmm. right? If you think about it from that point of view of, okay, well, it's easier to walk away if we're not going to disappoint this little tiny soul over here. The other side of it is there's less to talk about, right? There's less to, children can divide a marriage.
Yep.
Children can divide attention of a marriage. Children can take jealousy. We know a friend that is jealous of her daughter mm-hmm. and the love that her husband gives her. So I could understand where a non-childbearing couple could have a deeper relationship because there's not these little ninjas trying to maneuver in between them. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And I think that, like you said, you were saying that for them to try to work it out because of the kids, but it really needs to be also for them as well, because if they don't heal for their relationship, is it really ever healed?
Right. And listen, I agree with you when you say you should never stay together for the sake of the children, because I believe the only way for a kid to learn how to be in a healthy relationship is to
observe it,
see, right? Because if not, there's a whole lot of unlearning that needs to be done before that they can actually be loved. And so if they can see a mom and dad work and struggle through mm-hmm. and fix themselves and truly love each other, then I'm okay with that. I don't like the idea of, like what you had said, of people being stuck together because they have kids and they're just kind of nasty to each other. There's no love. There's no affection. There's no caring for one another. And your kids see that for the next 18 to 20 something years. Meanwhile, you're saying you're happily married.
Yeah. Your
kids will replicate that version of happiness.
Exactly. So that's why I don't like the term stay together for the kids, because that does not imply that you're working on your relationship with your spouse. Mm-hmm. So you want to fix the relationship. You guys have got to fix the relationship.
Right.
And it may, and the benefit is that either you guys separate and find somebody new and your children get to observe you guys actually happy and good relationships, or you guys actually mend your relationship and your children still get to see great relationships and healthy ones. And when they get older, they're going to know, I don't have to stay here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think it's, like I said, I was thinking about this in the shower. Like, I had seen an article about them divorcing before I stepped in the shower. And then it made me think about you and Dion and that you don't have kids. So how does that, I think it's interesting because it's, I think a lot of people stay together for the kids.
Right.
And it's a bad idea. And I also do think that children do have a way of coming in between parents. Parents will redirect their attention mm-hmm. to children and become just moms instead of being a mom and a wife and a girlfriend and a lover to that partner.
Correct. Yep. Because they tend to lose themselves.
Right.
Right. And, you know, we have friends that after they've had children, that happens. The women focus solely on the baby because now I'm a mom. I was mm-hmm. a girlfriend, I was a wife, and now I'm a mom. I'm no longer these other things. Now I'm a mom, and that's my sole focus, and that's it. And that drives a wedge into the marriage, right?
Right.
So now the husband's not getting any attention. The husband's no longer giving back the attention. Her sexual drive goes down. He's starting to look somewhere else, and it's a big fucking mess.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Instead of having open dialogue because and saying, hey, I love you, honey, but you're being maniacally focused on the baby mm-hmm. and there's more to us than the baby.
Right.
You know, and that's, I think that's mm-hmm. a hard conversation to have for a man to give to a woman and for a woman to receive it. Because mama instincts kick in and then she wants to attack him.
Do you think in that type of scenario that a woman dives into her role as a mother harder than a man dives into his role as a father?
I think it depends on the person. I mean, mm-hmm. really, I do. I think some people mothers dive in really hard. And I think some mothers don't dive in enough.
I think that mothers dive into the nurturing side where fathers dive into the provider side. Mm-hmm. As soon as there is an heir or little baby born, it's, oh my God, I have a family and I have to provide for them.
Correct.
So if you ask most wives that are mothers that my husband works too much, he's working too hard, where in the husband's mindset, I'm providing for my family. I'm doing what I'm supposed to as a man. This mm-hmm. is my job. Where a mother dives in on the, well, I have to feed her. I have to care for her. I have to love her. And he's looking at her like, well, what about me? You're not loving on me. Well, this is my job now as a mom, is to take care of her.
Right.
And so then each person is doing what their maternal instinct or paternal instinct is, provider, nurturer, right?
Right. And the man.
And we have to find a way to meet back together.
Right. Because the woman now, her cup is empty now for the baby, and it's not. Excuse me. Is mm-hmm. not being replenished, right? Because she's not doing her own self-care. And then the husband's not getting the nurturing that he was receiving beforehand, before the baby.
Right.
So he's right. getting stressed out and upset. And the woman's like, well, I'm trying to, everything's going here. And she's feeling like she's not getting any help. He feels like he's not getting any support because he's spending all the time financially missing the moments. You know.
Right. And the problem is it, and I know several couples going through this entire thing right now, and I didn't even think about it until we started talking about this, is they're not talking yep. to one another. They are both in this scenario struggling with the same thing, and they're not talking to one another, and their intent mm-hmm. is the best, right? This is the problem though. So you have husband who's been working home all day or out of the home all day. And so he comes home and he's had a stressful day and he says, Susie, I need to get my dick sucked. Like, I've had a hard fucking day. Let's do this. And her response is, I've been taking care of the kids. Right. I don't want to do this. Who's
they're
right?
They're all right
wrong?
And they're all wrong. Because right. Susie, well, and this is, you know, so while Johnny gets to come home and gets to leave his work at work, you know, most of the time, Susie doesn't get to leave her job. The job is there 24/7. Right. Weekend vacation? Great. She's still got to take care of the kid. You go on vacation? Nope. Kid's still there. Right? I mean, there's no yeah. break for her. So, mm-hmm. you know, and I understand. He worked all day. Now he's got to come home and then their house is a mess. Kids are screaming and crying and da-da-da-da. And he's like, oh my God, he doesn't get a break. Well, neither does she. And this is...
Right. So what do you think the response should be that night when he comes home and says that? He's had a long day. He wants that done. And
the
he deserves it. He's been providing for this family.
Absolutely. To which my response would be like, sure, honey, help me with dinner. Help me put these kids to bed so we can both relax and I can provide what you need.
Right. Right, exactly. Or I even like, you know, what you were just saying about the fact that she has no days off, right? Take a day off and you send me out to go get my hair done, go do this, go do that, while daddy stays at home. And guess what? When I come home, you're going to look 10 times more attractive oh, yeah. than you did 2 days ago when you were telling me to
exactly.
suck dick.
Because then I'm really going
to right?
want to
so
suck
there
you.
Has to be... Right, because... You know why? Because there was an understanding. You understood that I needed something. I needed time out of this house. You were right. hearing me and understanding that, yeah, you work 40 hours a day, but this job is hard too. And because of that, I'm going
exactly.
to thank
and
you.
Just because it isn't a paying job doesn't mean it isn't a value.
Right.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. Like I said, I have friends that are going through that same thing. And
here's another thing. Men, it is also your responsibility to remind your wives that she is still sexy. As in,
oh, yeah.
baby, you look great, even though she's got spit up all in her hair. You know, you mm-hmm. are supposed to still flirt with your wife.
Yeah, well, same thing with your husbands, right? Like, there's a reason why when tromping across the other side of the house is that we are... on lockdown for 8 weeks, it's a matter of me thinking too, like, okay, well, what can I do that's mm-hmm. exciting for him? That's me trying to just think of everybody in the house of how to satisfy what their needs are to make it a little different, right? So it's on the wife too of when your man comes home, understanding. That's why I think I didn't like that moment with Phyllis, because there's a moment of understanding of, yeah, he wants to be thankful and do it. Now, if it's something where it's all the time and you just don't want it, then fine. I don't agree with that. But that's not what they provided us in that little clip that happened. And I think that's why I didn't like it, because as a man and woman, I think you guys should be listening to each other and understanding mm-hmm. your needs and making sacrifices for one another that you might not want to. But that's what gets her in bed more, right? That's what gets him running off and pleasing you when you notice, oh, hey, by the way, thank you for
exactly
working so
give
hard.
Him some recognition and some props. And I think the biggest problem is, like you said, with your friends, couples that are having all these problems, there's no communication. Nobody's talking.
Right.
And with the kids, you know, we've done this because, you know, Mason's here and now Lennox is here as well. We have there's a conversation. Mason wants something. Hold on, unless it's not something huge, but if it's something, you know, of value or whatever, mm-hmm. we all have to get together and have a conversation. And sometimes that conversation's right in front of Mason and going, the adults have mm-hmm. decided. So there's no talking to this person and splitting them apart.
Right. I do agree in that I've read a lot of books in psychology and raising children back when I was younger, when I first had Ethan, about having these conversations in front of kids, because I think a lot of people think that you shouldn't. There's a lot of conversations that we have in front of our kids that I just think that they need to be a part of. They need to understand the way a marriage works sometimes. Like if my husband and I fight in front of them, I want an apology to be in front of them too. Not behind closed doors. Don't fucking text me your apology. Be a man and say, I'm sorry, in front of everybody. The same way that, and that goes for everybody. Like these, because like you said, they have to see what a healthy relationship looks like. They have to see the adults communicating so they know that they can't mm-hmm. be a wedge to drive in between
us. And they also have to see what it's like to be humble and actually have to apologize.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So... Well,
I liked
that was
it.
A good talk. Yeah, that was interesting. I think, you know, I don't know what I was going to say.
Okay. Quarantine's got you down, girl.
I know. I'm just excited to be talking to somebody. I did have a lovely evening. We went to the neighbors this weekend on Saturday night, Friday and Saturday. We had them over Friday. They came over Saturday, just next door. And, I feel like I talked their ear off because I was just excited to be talking to somebody. Like I was so, and they are very good at like, if I throw something weird out there, like, hey, what if this happened? How would you respond? They'll play along too. And they'll be like, all right, let's talk this out. So I love it.
That's great.
Yeah. I love it. So the last thing I want to do is a book or DVD or DVD. Show recommendations. Do you have any? What do you got for us? What are you watching?
Oh, so we are watching Westworld, and I think it's on Netflix. Not 100. No, I think it's Amazon.
That's who's the main character in that?
I don't know. It's the Western looking world, so it's the Western looking one, but it's not a Western. It's Anthony Hopkins.
Oh, I was thinking about West Wing.
Or is it? No, not West Wing.
Got
West
it.
World.
I see it. Three seasons, action in 2016.
Yeah. So it's really good, actually. It's basically this creator has created this world, which they called Westworld, and it is a Western, and guests get to come to the park right? And they get all in the dressed up, and there's all these hosts that look real, they talk real, they have the right the movements, the reactions, they can read what you're wanting. So basically, it's a free-for-all. Humans come in, they get to fuck, shoot, do whatever they want.
Nice.
Right? They can do it to a host. Now, they can't do it to another human. Humans can't be killed in the world. And so, and it's talking about how these hosts are starting to get consciousness and becoming real. And you just got to watch it. It's really cool. And it's, you really have to pay attention because it really fucks with your head.
All right, great. So that's...
So, it's good.
That's called Western World. Westworld.
Westworld.
Okay. We started watching McMillions last night, which is on Hulu, too. It's an HBO documentary about McDonald's Monopoly game and how the mob infiltrated the game. And all the winners weren't real winners, and the money was going to the mob. And how the FBI in Jacksonville, Florida, got involved and was able to crack the case. And I actually, we know the assistant federal attorney prosecutor on there. So it's kind of cool to see somebody that we've met before on there. And it's very, very interesting. I think there's 8 episodes. We're about 5 in, I think. Super interesting, though. We all had no idea that these Monopoly games were going on and that the mob had infiltrated the game system. McDonald's had no fucking clue.
McDonald's,
because McDonald's outsourced to their advertising company. So the advertising company was the one that ended up with the security breach. And it's fucking nuts.
Right. Everyone thinks mobsters are still the thug gangsters in New York City, right? In the Bronx and everywhere, in the different boroughs. But no, they've upped their game. They're fucking presidents and CEOs of major corporations.
Well, people should watch it. It's good. It's McMillions, and it's on. Even if you don't have HBO, I think Hulu put it out for free, which was good. And then I'll do one book recommendations because I wrote down, it's called The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. And it's a very good book, but it's got 4 basic rules. And I just want to read this to people and then we can leave it there and leave them on a good thought. So the first rule is be impeccable with your words. Speak with integrity. Say only what you mean. Avoid using the word to speak against yourself or to gossip about others. Use the power of your word in the direction of truth and love. Number 2, don't take anything personally. Okay. Nothing others do is because of you. What others say and do is a projection of their own reality. When you are immune to the opinions and actions of others, you won't be the victim of needless suffering. Easy enough. Don't make assumptions. Find the courage to ask questions and to express what you really want. Communicate with others as clearly as you can to avoid misunderstanding, sadness, and drama. With just this one agreement, you can completely transform your life, which is don't make assumptions. And this is the 4th one. Always do your best. Your best is going to change from moment to moment. It will be different when you are healthy. Sorry, there's a glare. When you are healthy as opposed to sick. Under any circumstances, simply do your best and you will avoid self-judgment, self-abuse, and regret. And I think that's 4 perfect rules for any day of our lives, but especially me for where I'm at right now. Be very clear with your words. Be intentional with your words. Be kind. As long as your intent is not to truly, you might hurt somebody with your words. But if the intent isn't there, then there's got to be some type of understanding from the other side. And also to, I think the very last one that I want to leave everyone with is if your best is 5 minutes of productive activity and the rest of the day you're going to lay around, if that is the best you can muster up today, be okay with that. Right? Be okay with it.
I agree.
And yeah. Don't let anybody else tell you any differently.
No, because everybody's standards and best right. is different.
Absolutely. So, all right, that's all I got.
All right, sounds good.
All right, you want to say our goodbyes?
Of course. So, as always, if you guys have any questions, comments, concerns, give us a shout out at notasafespacepodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Hope you guys have a great day.
Bye.